Amen. Welcome to Harvest Baptist Church on this Lord's Day, celebrating the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on the first day of the week, a good way to start the week. First day of the week, the Lord Jesus Christ rose from the dead, and so we just celebrate that, reminding us of his resurrection brings life. And so if turning your hymnals to 595, we'll sing, "Thy Word Have I Hid in Mine Heart." 595. Be reminded about God's word. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By keeping heed to God's word. And so that's a really good reminder. So we're live on Facebook because we're complying with the provincial guidelines for keeping distance and keeping meetings to a small amount. And so just for those that might be visiting us for the first time, or those that might not have recalled where we are in the adult Sunday school class, we have a syllabus here for the Sunday school. Now, during the preaching time that'll be in an hour from now, we have a different format. We're just preaching from the Word of God. But on Sunday school, we have more of a lesson format. And so what we've been doing is we've been going through a Bible doctrine, and we've covered the doctrines of the Bible and God, so bibliology and theology. In the second portion here, we're going through the doctrines of Christ and the Holy Spirit. So Christ, the doctrine of Christ is Christology, and doctrine of the Holy Spirit is pneumatology, like pneumatic, breath of God, pneumatology, the Holy Spirit. And then, Lord willing, later we'll get into the third section, the doctrines of man, anthropology, doctrine of sin, hamartiology, and the doctrine of salvation, soteriology. And then the fourth book, Doctrines of the Church, ecclesiology, doctrine of angels, angelology, and then the doctrines of last time, eschatology. So here now in this section here on the doctrines of Christ, Christology, and our syllabus, we have an outline of, we've covered the introduction to the doctrine of Christ. We've also discussed the pre-incarnate Christ, the incarnation of Christ, the nature of Christ, his humanity, and right now, today, in the nature of Christ, his deity, and then, Lord willing, in the future here, the person of Christ, the offices of Christ, the atonement of Christ, defined, explained, applied, and then the resurrection of Christ, the present work of Christ, and the future work of Christ. So as you can see, it's called systematic theology. It's topical, going through the Bible and seeing wherever the scripture talks about man, sin, and salvation in a topical way. Whereas typically in our preaching, it's expositional, where we take a passage of scripture, take it in its context, and then expound on it as the scripture is laid out before us in an expositional way or expository way. So today we are in our syllabus on page 235. 235. So those of you at home and you have a syllabus or here in the sanctuary, in your syllabus is page 235. All right, Jesus Christ is identified as the Old Testament Jehovah. Now, we've covered this somewhat when we were looking at the doctrine of God, theology proper. Names of God. And so we talked about the primary name of God is Elohim, and the significance of that is the singular for God is El, E-L, but Elohim is plural. But we know that there's only one God. So what's that all about? Well, the interesting thing is wherever Elohim is referring to God, the verbs are in singular form. And so the format of the sentences are in singular form. And many of you that know another language, often many languages have a verb structure that fits with the gender of the noun or the plurality or singularity of the noun. And in English, we don't have that, but certainly in Hebrew, that was the case. And so Elohim, plural, for God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and the verb is in the singular. And so here we have God, when you see that in your Bible, in capital G, small O, small D, in the Old Testament, it's the Hebrew word Elohim. When you see the word God all capitalized, and more frequently, the word Lord, the name Lord, all capitalized, and all uppercase, that is the translated from the word Jehovah. And Jehovah is really talking about the Lord Jesus Christ before he came here as a baby. And so Jesus Christ is the eternal Son of God. He is God from everlasting to everlasting. He is the eternal Son of God. But he came, was born as a baby. He became the Son of Man to bear our sins in his own body on the cross. Now, just a little comment. We did cover this before, but I just want to emphasize again. Some people are saying now, more recently, that well, we don't know how to pronounce the word Jehovah, and yet we covered this a fair bit, but I'll just repeat some of it. Those folks that say we don't know how to pronounce Jehovah, some of the older manuscripts certainly do have, Hebrew manuscripts have the vowels in with the name Jehovah. But certainly people, and I think one of the most outstanding things is that, without going into all the other details, one of the most outstanding things is people have no problem pronouncing the other names of, in the scriptures that use the first part of that name, Jehovah, as in Jehoahash, Jehoshua, Jehoshaphat, Jehoiada, Jehoiram, Jehoiadab, Jehoahaz. Each one of these, whereas these folks that would say, well, oh, you know, you have to pronounce the name Jehovah as Yahweh. That is not true. That is really sad to see that happening among folks that can't quite. There is no secrecy or mystery or super knowledge that we have to have. We just take things as their face value, the way they were written. God's word was written that way. It's the way we take it. And so the Lord, in all capital letters in the Old Testament, or the word God in the English translation that's all capitalized in uppercase, is a translation from the word Jehovah. And that is referring to Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. So let's just get right into this list here we have on page 235. Certain things said of the Lord, Jehovah, in the Old Testament are also said of the Lord Jesus Christ in the New Testament. And so we have a table here of 12 items that show some of these comparisons. Just going through them, just 12 of them. Tempted by Israel. So Jehovah was tempted by Israel. Jehovah is the shepherd. Jehovah leads captivity captive. Jehovah is the creator. Jehovah was seen by Isaiah. Jehovah is to be sanctified. Jehovah is a stone of stumbling. Jehovah was preceded by a forerunner. And Jehovah is the Alpha and Omega, the first and last. Jehovah is light and glory of Israel. Jehovah is the one who searches the hearts. And Jehovah is one who seeks and saves. So let's just start off with the first one here, Numbers 21. And in your syllabus, there's a typo error. It's Numbers 21, verses 5 through 6, not 16. It says Numbers 21, 16 there, but it is Numbers 21, 5 and 6, tempted by Israel. And the people spake against God and against Moses, wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. The Lord, all in capitals, the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people. All in uppercase. The Lord, that's Jehovah. And so we read in 1 Corinthians 10, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 9, neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. And so that Lord that they tempted in the Old Testament is Jehovah. Jesus Christ is that Jehovah, pre-incarnate. He was with Israel in the wilderness. And just not to leave it on that negative note, what isn't it wonderful? God directed Moses to create this brass serpent on a pole with the command to the children of Israel, look to this serpent on the pole and you'll be healed. And so all it was a matter of looking. There was nothing they could do other than look. And so what an exciting thing to see that fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ in John chapter 3. That's not in your syllabus, but John chapter 3, verse 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. So Jesus Christ was lifted up on the cross to pay the penalty for our sin. He shed his sinless blood for you and me on the cross. And so the beautiful picture, and I think in the video you cannot see this, but we do have on the wall behind me above the curtains, we have a verse, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. And that's Isaiah 45:22. Look unto me. And so salvation is not a difficult thing, other than our own pride that kept me from getting saved when I knew I should, for a time. Pride keeps us. That's the big obstacle. And so when we're lifted up with pride, we don't respond well. But once we're humbled and recognize, I hate my sin. I hate this sin. I want to do right. But really, I understand I need to be forgiven, because all the right that I could do from now on will never pay for the damage I've done already. We need to be forgiven. And how do you find atonement in works, like being so good? You can't. Just the thought that came to my mind last week here. Distance will not solve your sin problem. You can't, okay, this town is too small, I'm going to move away where I don't have this reputation and things will be better. Distance won't do that. Time won't do that. Time won't wash away your past.
That's right.
Neither will being with different people change it. Well, I was with the wrong crowd. No, you were the wrong crowd. Who is the wrong crowd that all these people say, oh, well, my son, he got in with the wrong crowd. No, he was the wrong. That's why he was there. That because the other parents are saying that of him. And so time will not solve your sin. Distance will not solve your sin. Getting together with so-called good people will not solve your sin. You need atonement. You need forgiveness of your sin. And so what a wonderful story here that it's Jesus Christ that fulfilled that picture, even as Moses raised up that serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of God be lifted up, Son of Man be lifted up. And so he was, the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, tempted by Israel. We see that both Jehovah and the Lord Jesus Christ were tempted by Israel. And so, secondly here, the shepherd. Jesus Christ is a shepherd, and so is Jehovah. Psalm 23:1 that we're so familiar with and many have memorized. Psalm 23:1, I think maybe we'll just say that all together. Psalm 23. Okay, Psalm 23:1, if we want to say that together. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That's where we'll just end there. Psalm 23:1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And what a nice thing to remember when times are difficult and you recognize that there is one who cares. He is the one to seek and to save that which is lost. Psalm 23:1. And then John 10:11, the Lord Jesus Christ tells us in John 10, verse 11. So as you can see, we'll be going back and forth from the Old Testament to the New Testament. So here in the Old Testament, it was the Lord is my shepherd, Lord, all in capital letters, Jehovah, translated from the Hebrew word Jehovah. John 10:11, And Jesus is speaking, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. That's pretty explicit. I am the good shepherd. And so this good shepherd, if you look in 1 Peter 2, First Peter, First and Second Peter, First and Second, Third John, Jude, and Revelation. So 1 Peter 2:25. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Jesus Christ is the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Just a little sidebar here as we're looking in 1 Peter. I've marked this in my Bible. It's quite interesting that in 1 Peter 1, verse 14, he's referring to believers as obedient children. And then in chapter 2, verse 2, as newborn babes, he's referring to young believers in Christ. And then in verse 5, ye also as lively stones. And 1 Peter 2, verse 9, a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people. And then verse 10, which in times past were not a people, but are now the people of God, so as people of God. And then verse 11, dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims. And then verse 16, as free, not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as a servants of God. And then here we are reading there in verse 25, as sheep, for ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned. So sheep nonetheless, but returned to the shepherd and bishop of your souls. So just an interesting thing there, how the Lord uses picture words to give us a really good imagery of where we stand before him. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word. And then also as lively stones. That's what the church, believers coming together, all of us together right now, and even those on the video, watching by video, we're all like, the Bible says we're like lively stones. We're all being built together, fitted together, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone, and all fitted together, functioning in the proper way. And so then, the other verse pertaining to this is 1 Peter 5:4. 1 Peter 5:4. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. So when the chief shepherd shall appear. So that's the Lord Jesus Christ. We're looking forward to his soon return. So Jehovah and the Lord Jesus Christ, both tempted by Israel, both referred to as the shepherd, and then leads captivity captive. So Psalm 68:18. And for anybody joining us a little later here, we're on in the syllabus. If you have the syllabus, it's page 235. And the third item in the list there, leads captivity captive. Psalm 68:18. Thou hast ascended on high, thou hast led captivity captive, thou hast received gifts for men, yea, for the rebellious also, that the Lord God might dwell among them. And so the Lord God, Jehovah Elohim, the Lord God. Ephesians 4:8-10. Ephesians 4:8-10. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, that is, now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And so that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Died for our sins, and he went and he led captivity free from their captivity and gave gifts unto men. And just want to point out there's quite a sort of a resurgence even among evangelical, you know, Bible-believing Christians and Baptists and the like, this whole idea that recapitulation of Jesus, that Jesus had to somehow live a life like he might have succeeded or he might have lost, who knows, but finally he succeeded. That's not the case. Jesus Christ is from everlasting, and his character is that he's sinless and that he's the creator.
Amen.
He is not fighting with his creation.
Yeah.
He calls us to fight, fight a battle against the flesh and against the world. That's to bring maturity to us, for us to understand where it is, how we stand before the Lord. The Old Testament saints went into a place called paradise. And so the Lord Jesus Christ went down there to lead them, as far as I understand anyway, but not to go and fight and have a battle with Satan. Jesus Christ is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. In God's economy, because God's eternal, there was not a question like, am I going to win or not? That was set. That was the prophecy is sure, and so too our salvation is sure. Even though it's not realized yet, we are saved, yes, because we're in the family of God, but we're still struggling in this world. It's sort of like being just crossing over Jordan, going into Canaan was not imagery of being in heaven. That being in Canaan was imagery of being in the Christian life. There's battles to be won. But the wonderful thing about those battles, it was God that won the battle. Whenever the people went in their flesh to fight the battle, they lost. When they went at God's command, they won, because God went before them to win those battles. And so that's what we learn. But just a comment about that the Lord Jesus Christ is not in a battle with his creation. Satan is his creation. And it's all about choice. God has created those, all of us have choice. We can choose to serve him or not. And he's not fazed by any of us that might challenge him on that. And the imagery there is the parent and the child. The parent is going ahead with their agenda, and the child can come along willingly or not so willingly. And there comes a time when the child grows up and makes their own decisions. And then they find out, oh, my parents were not so foolish as I thought they were. But sometimes obedience is really nice, that even if you don't understand it, it can be a blessing, because... Now, of course, people will raise, well, what about the bad parents? Yes, well, the Bible does speak about bad parents being an example of Satan and being an example of things that are not good. But that's the difference. Parents, that's the admonition to parents to love their children and do right by them. Jesus Christ is the creator. Psalm 102:24. Psalm 102:24 verse 1 of 102 is addressing the Lord. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and let my cry come unto thee. Starting with verse 24, I said, O my God, take me not away in the midst of my days. Thy years are throughout all generations. Of old thou hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou shalt endure. Yea, all of them shall wax old like a garment. As a vesture shalt thou change them, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall have no end. And so, this is declaring the works of the Lord. Verse 21, declare the name of the Lord in Zion and his praise in Jerusalem. Verse 22, when the people were gathered together with the kingdoms to serve the Lord, this is the Lord, Jehovah is the creator. And just a sidebar there, you know, some folks say Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 2 are different accounts of creation. No. Genesis chapter 1 is a outline of creation. Genesis chapter 2 is details. And interestingly, in Genesis chapter 1, God said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness. And that's referring, it's Elohim that's saying that. Elohim, God, plural God, with the God said, the verb is singular, one God in three persons. But the Lord is not mentioned. Jehovah is not mentioned in chapter 1. But in chapter 2, he is mentioned because the significance of the Lord, the I Am, the Lord, is that he is self-revealing. And so this is how God, who is beyond us, he cannot look, sin cannot survive being in his presence. Well, how in the world can God reach down to us? He has, in the person of Jesus Christ, pre-incarnate as Jehovah, and then with us now here in the New Testament as the Lord Jesus Christ, and we look forward to his soon return. So I'll make a comment here too on this 102 verse 25 and 26. Of old thou hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou shalt endure. And then if you turn over the page and you go to 104, verse 5, who laid the foundations of the earth that it should not be removed forever. And there's a difference here. Of old thou hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands. The heaven and the earth will perish. We read that in Peter. But the foundation will not, that it should not be removed forever. And so what is that foundation? Well, we're not explicitly told there other than like in Colossians, we believe it's the Lord Jesus Christ. He is that foundation by which all things that are created consist and have their being. And who knows, it might be the strong force. We don't know. There's so much we don't know. And yet it's so interesting to watch how the scriptures really match up so much with what we discover. Like we're discovering more and more that the scriptures have told from of old. So then going over to the New Testament, Hebrews 1, 10 through 12. Hebrews 1. Hebrews, James, 1st and 2nd Peter. Hebrews 1, 10 through 12. And thou, Lord, in the beginning, hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest, and they all shall wax old as doth a garment. And as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. So interesting how physicists are talking, physicists, cosmologists, and all those are talking about the fabric of space. What, were they reading the scriptures? Where, as a vesture shalt thou fold them up. That's exciting. We're living in some very exciting times, brothers and sisters. And so here we're talking about God, who in sundry times and diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, that's verse 1, and hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. So the Lord Jesus Christ is this Lord that we read about in Psalm 102, that same Jehovah, the Lord. Now, the Lord, who was seen by Isaiah, this is a very popular passage too. Many of us have memorized it. Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6, we're talking about in the year that King Uzziah died. Isaiah 6, verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. This is Isaiah speaking. And verse 2, above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. So twain, that's two. So with two he covered his face, two he covered his feet, and two he did fly, two wings. And verse 3, and one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And who is this Lord of hosts? Who is this Jehovah of hosts? If you look in John chapter 12. John chapter 12. Verse 41, these things said Isaiah when he saw his glory and spake of him. So Isaiah, that's the Greek it's a translation from the Greek Isaiah, the Hebrew name Isaiah. And so in the Greek, Isaiah, when he saw his glory and spake of him. And so that's the Lord Jesus Christ, who Isaiah spoke of being revealed to Israel again, Jehovah come in the flesh. Isaiah 8:13 talks about Jehovah is to be sanctified. Psalms, Proverbs, Isaiah. So from now on, there's quite a few of these in Isaiah. Isaiah 8:13. Isaiah 8:13, sanctify the Lord of hosts himself, and let him be your fear, and let him be your dread. Sanctify the Lord of hosts himself. So we see, if we turn over to 1 Peter 3:15. And so you can kind of keep your finger in Isaiah there, and also your finger here in 1 Peter, because we'll come back. 1 Peter 3:15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you the reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. That's Jesus Christ, the Lord. And so we can go back to Isaiah 8 quite easily if you had your finger still in there. Isaiah 8 talking about a stone of stumbling, Jesus Christ and Jehovah were a stone of stumbling. Isaiah 8, 13 and 14. Sanctify the Lord of hosts himself, and let him be your fear, let him be your dread. Verse 14, and he shall be for a sanctuary, but for a stone of stumbling and for a rock of offense to both the house of Israel, for a gin and for a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And so a stone of stumbling, a rock of offense, and a gin or a snare like a trap. He will be a stone of stumbling. And so back to 1 Peter 2, if you kept your finger there, it'll just be flipped over there. 1 Peter 2, 6 through 8. I think it says 7 through 8, but I'll start in verse 6. Oh, and we were just referring to you as being lively stones. Believers in Christ are like lively stones being built up. But that's in verse 5. And so then what's he going to talk about? We're being built up as lively stones, built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifice acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. And then verse 6, wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. So that chief cornerstone is the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 7, and unto you therefore which believe he is precious, but unto them which be obedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. And a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, wherefore also they were appointed. So that same stone, some will accuse that stone of being, oh, that stone's in the way, I'm stumbling over it, I keep stubbing my toe on this stone. Whereas others, that stone is precious.
Yeah.
That stone is what's holding up the building.
Yeah.
Amen. Knock out the stone and the whole building comes down. And so what a foolish thing to consider the chief cornerstone to be a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. Back to Isaiah verse 40, chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. To be preceded, Jehovah, the Lord, is to be preceded by a forerunner. Isaiah 40, verses 3 and 4. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. So then if we look over to Luke chapter 1, Matthew, Mark, Luke, chapter 1. We see this. We could maybe start in, well, just for the context there. You know, remember Zacharias was made mute because he doubted God. Was able to give Elizabeth a child at this old age. But hope I'm saying that correctly. Was that the reason he was... Okay, we won't go that far back. But anyway, so now the people wanted to know... They wanted to call him a different name. They were going to call him Zacharias after his father. But in verse... Um, And Elizabeth said, no, his name shall be John. And they didn't like that. But in verse 62, and they made a sign to his father how he would have him called. Verse 63, and he asked for a writing table and wrote, saying, his name is John. And they marveled all. So anyway, that's the setting here. Okay, and so then, and so now, Zacharias' mouth was open. His mouth was open, verse 64, immediately, and his tongue loosed, and he spake and praised God. And then in verse 67, and his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, verse 68, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began. And then in verse 76, thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest. Thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his way. Amen. And so that's John the Baptist, who was the fulfillment of that scripture in Isaiah, that the Lord would be preceded. When the Lord would come to Israel, he would be preceded by a forerunner, and that forerunner's name was John, as God had directed. What is the time?
It's
4 hours. Okay. So we'll just... So that at number 7 there, we'll just... at number 8, we'll... cut that off for now, and then be back here for just in 15 minutes here for 10:30. Let's just bow for a word of prayer before we are dismissed. Dear God, we thank thee for thy word. We thank thee how it is fulfilled. So much of thy scripture has already been fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ, and so much of the Old Testament has got double fulfillment, both now here in the Lord Jesus Christ and in his soon return. So we look forward to that. We just pray that thou would dismiss us from this session with thy goodness in Christ's name. Amen. Be back in 15 minutes. Okay. All right.